This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Here you go. The Fed says, digest this.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Just when you thought the Federal Reserve would be more, dare I say, reserved, it goes and shocks investors around the globe. The board announced it would buy U.S. treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, all a part of the Fed's plans to inject $1 trillion or more into the ailing American economy. The move has put more cash there. Interest rates on mortgages and other types of key loans have fallen, but there's also a downside. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Mortgage rates hit near record lows after the Fed's actions. The rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage for people with good credit fell to around 4.75%. Some analysts say the rate could drop even more today. Lenders have reined in who qualifies for a loan, but the Fed's move is expected to spur first-time home buyers into action. That could help the ailing housing market, and millions of others will probably refinance. Still, a refi will remain out of reach for the roughly 14 million consumers who owe more on their homes than their houses are worth. They won't be able to qualify for the new lower rates. If you hold U.S. Treasury notes, they won't make you as much money as they did yesterday. The yield on a 10-year Treasury note fell a half point to 2.5%, and the value of the dollar fell against other currencies. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Overseas investors are trying to wrap their heads around the Fed decision. Asian markets were mostly flat, but there were gains. Financial stocks helped lead the way. The Hang Seng rose 0.1%. Japan's Nikkei fell by 0.3%. European shares are trading higher today. London, Frankfurt, and Paris stocks are all up. The Dow gained more than 90 points to close at 7486, a hike of more than 1%. NASDAQ and S&P shares rose about 2% each. March Madness gets into full swing today with CBS televising the first round of games. You know, 64 teams, dozens of games, millions of fans, and of course, hours and hours of coverage. With the down economy, the fallout, you might think that marketers would stay on the bench. Not so much, as Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports.
Rebound, Arthur. Kansas can taste it.
20 million fans tuned in last year for the NCAA's championship game. But overall, March Madness has been losing television viewers. And this year isn't expected to be any different. Even so, advertisers are crowding the court. Walt Garino teaches advertising at Seton Hall University. He says March Madness is still one of the best ways to reach young, well-educated men in big numbers.
The audience is basically not only mostly male, slightly above average in income.
So Lowe's, Coca-Cola, and Nike are buying in. And there's beer.
Of course, there's a thing called the brewskis.
Foreign automakers and tech companies are stepping up their ad buys as banks and American car makers bail out. Also, lots of advertisers will be pitching their products online. Tech analyst Josh Martin says the web is a good place to find a captive audience, especially during work hours.
There's something to be said for having an active user that is waiting for the game to come back on, that can't skip commercials.
And can't bear to miss a free throw. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
A lot of people are angry over big bonuses being paid with government bailout money. If anything, AIG has personified a corporate culture that leaves a bad taste. But does that mean we need to look at a new model for executive compensation? Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now. Chris, how do we rationalize these big salaries and bonuses in these days of corporate bailouts and government help?
Well, you know, you can't rationalize it. It makes no sense. It's a perversion of a system. Now, I think that we have a very good model for how CEOs should be paid. Think of an entrepreneur. You like entrepreneurs, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we all like entrepreneurs. They take an idea, they take a risk, and every once in a while they succeed. And you know, when they succeed, they create jobs, they innovate, and if they want to go out and buy a Lamborghini, we say, go buy that Lamborghini. You want a jet? Go buy that jet. You want two homes? That's fine. Because most of the time, they take the risk, and it fails. And then maybe they lost their home, or maybe that 401k needs to be replenished. So there's a real balance between risk and reward. But when it comes to the nation's CEOs and these people at AIG, it's all reward and no risk.
So what kind of compensation model then works in this environment?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, I think let's just make every CEO just like an entrepreneur. So if times are good, they can get their benefits. If times are bad and they lose their jobs, they don't get the health care, they don't get the pension. And why don't more CEOs today act like the head of Japan Airlines? Now, he's laying off workers. They're having trouble. Guess what his salary is? $90,000 a year. And he stands in line in the cafeteria. That's the sort of example CEOs should be giving. Times are good. They make bets. I got no problem. But when times are bad, they're laying off people. They should suffer too.
But does the marketplace take care of this, Chris? Or is it the government? Whose plan should this be? And how does it come to be?
Well, the reason why I don't want government to be doing it is because you come up to this very real problem about one size doesn't fit all and the politics, which you just can't get out of there. But the big question I have is, at what point are the boards of directors who have the responsibility for doing this, at what point will the boards of directors exercise their responsibility? So I think there's a very simple message to the boards of directors of America's corporations. Take a look at the anger that's out there. If you don't convince the American worker that there is fairness in CEO compensation, then you know what? People are going to be angry enough. Politicians will respond to that anger, and government will do it. And that will not be good.
All right. Economic correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And you can share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. And check out more on America's financial fallout, continuing coverage of it, at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.